you pray with me? Jesus, this morning we remember the amazing love that you give us through forgiveness and the fact that you call us to then offer forgiveness to others. I pray, Lord, that you would take my inadequate words and that you would infuse them with the power of your Holy Spirit and that you would speak to our hearts so that we can understand what you are calling us to do as your people. In Jesus' name. I want to give a special thank you to the music worship team for learning that song, Forgiveness, today. It's a difficult song, and they learned it just for this service today. And in 2012, the Christian artist Matthew West wrote this song. And let's see the first slide. This is what he looks like. The inspiration for this song, though, is the story of Rene Napier, whose 20-year-old daughter and a friend were both killed by a drunk driver named Eric back in 2002. Rene, as a Christian, understood that Christ calls us to forgive those who have hurt us, even those who cause profound damage and loss. And so she forgave Eric, and she even appealed the courts to cut his 22-year sentence in half to 11 years. And then a couple years after her daughter's death, in 2004, Rene began traveling the country, warning others of the dangers of drunk driving, and also speaking of the power of forgiveness. Next slide. Recently, we've been learning that Jesus is leading us as his people on a journey toward a destination that has four parts: unity of the faith, unity in the knowledge of the Son of God, maturity, and the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Last time I spoke about maturity and how this requires that we acknowledge two realities that are at war within each of us: our flesh and the Holy Spirit within us. We also learned that the path to maturity involves two processes, one that occurs once for all on the cross when Jesus bore our sin under the punishment of God and set us free through his death from the power of sin and our sinful flesh. The second process occurs more and more as we allow the Holy Spirit to change us, to transform us, to make real in our lives the once-for-all victory that Christ won for us on the cross. We do this by crying out to God, surrendering our sinful flesh to him, and allowing him to put to death the misdeeds of the body by the power of the Holy Spirit. Today we turn to the last verse of Ephesians chapter 4, the chapter we're focusing right now as a congregation, where we see another essential ingredient of maturity. If you do not have this, then it does not matter how long you've been walking with Jesus or how old you are not yet spiritually mature. On the other hand, if you do have this, then it does not matter how young you are well on your way to spiritual maturity. What am I referring to? Forgiveness toward others. Ephesians 4, verse 32 tells us, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." Next slide, please. One day, as Jesus is teaching, Peter asks him, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me?" Perhaps he has one of the disciples in mind. So one of them's getting on his nerves. "Jesus, how many times must I really forgive him?" And then Peter thinks really hard and probably imagines the highest, greatest number of times that anyone could possibly forgive someone else. And then he says, "Up to 7 times?" Jesus, though, takes Peter's suggestion and explodes it, showing that God's righteousness is far higher than anything we could have imagined. Jesus replies, "I tell you, not 7 times, but 70 times 7. at this point, Peter and all the disciples are probably thinking that Jesus has gone way too far. That what he is asking of them is far beyond human possibility. And so Jesus then tells them a story of what the kingdom of heaven is like. And Jesus says this: a king wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he begins the settlement, a man who owes him 10,000 talents is brought to him. I think the translation earlier today said something like 10,000 bags of gold. We don't know exactly how much 10,000 talents was in that day, but we do know this. It was millions and millions and millions of dollars. It was an impossible debt that would have taken years and years, perhaps an entire lifetime, to repay. Since he's not able to pay, the king orders that he and his wife and his children be seized and be thrown into prison until they are able to repay the debt. Now, this man knows that he's facing the destruction of his family. And so he falls on his knees before the king, and he begs him, "Be patient with me, and I will pay back everything." At this point, something amazing and powerful begins to happen. The king has mercy on the man. In fact, the king's mercy on the man who owes the debt is greater than anything this man was hoping for. The man is only asking for more time to pay off this impossible debt. The king, though, responds by canceling the debt, letting him go, giving him a clean and fresh start with no burden of debt. Imagine for just a moment the weight that has just lifted off of this man's shoulders as the king sets him and his family free. Next slide, please. I have a friend who lived for many years as a drug addict in Amsterdam. He spent his days on the street and in abandoned buildings, using hard drugs, living an empty, meaningless life. Then one day he met Jesus, and his life has never been the same since. Jesus delivered him from his addictions and empty existence and set him free from the burden of debt that he carried before God because of his sins. And do you know how my friend responded? So great was his gratitude for what Christ had done in his life that he wanted to go out and to help those who are in the same helpless situation that he himself was once in. And so he moved to India as a missionary and began looking for those who are dying on the streets. He began to rescue them and bring them to a little clinic that he built. And then he would tell them about the love of Jesus Christ that he had so powerfully experienced and that he now wanted so much to share with the people around him. This is what gratitude looks like. When we receive the grace, the mercy, and the forgiveness of God that cancels the debt of sin that we carry on our backs, that sets us free to live in friendship with God, and that gives us meaning and hope that we can never find anywhere else, we respond with gratitude. Our gratitude for what God has done then inspires us to spread God's amazing and powerful love to the people around us. This is how you might expect the man in Jesus' story to respond to the forgiveness that he has just been shown by the king, who canceled an impossible debt that the man never could have repaid. Next slide. Instead, we read that when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, which is only a few dollars. He grabbed him by the neck. He began to choke him, "Pay back what you owe me," he demanded. His fellow servant then fell to his knees and begged him, using the same words that the man had just used before the king. "Be patient with me, and I will pay you back." Then the one who had owed millions and millions of dollars, catch this, the one who had owed millions and millions of dollars is being asked for just a little bit more time by someone who owes him just a few dollars. But the great debtor refuses. Instead of having mercy on the little debtor, the great debtor goes off and has the man thrown into prison until he can pay off all his debt. Of course, the other servants see what is happening, and they're very, very upset. And so they run to the king and tell him. And then the king calls in the great debtor and says, "You wicked servant, I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?" The king then throws the man into prison until he can pay off his debt. Now, the power of this story lies in the fact that all of us recognize that the first servant, the great debtor, acts poorly. It's obvious to us that he should show the same kindness and generosity to someone else that he himself has just been shown. But then Jesus turns the sharp point of this story away from the great debtor toward us. And he pierces us to the core by saying this: "This is how my heavenly Father will treat you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart." God calls us to act consistently with the mercy and forgiveness he gives us by asking us to extend mercy and forgiveness to those who hurt us. There are few things that Christ calls us to do that are as difficult as this. To forgive someone who has hurt you, and who by any measure of justice deserves to suffer for how they have harmed you, goes against our natural inclinations and feelings. Most of all, to forgive offends our sinful flesh, which often demands revenge and retribution. This is why forgiveness can only happen as we allow Christ to put to death our sinful flesh on the cross, and as we allow the Holy Spirit to live out the righteousness of Jesus Christ in us and through us. And my friend, forgiveness is an essential part of the righteousness of Christ that the Holy Spirit is forming within us. After Jesus had been brutally beaten and tortured by his own people and then by the Romans, and as he hung on the cross carrying your sin and my sin, he prays, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." If the example that Jesus gives us of what forgiveness looks like is the pure Son of God being brutally tortured and killed, and yet in the midst of his suffering, choosing to forgive those who are putting him to death, if that is the forgiveness that God wants you and me to show to others, then every crime, every hurt that you and I could ever possibly experience is something that God is calling us to forgive. In light of the offense committed against God during the crucifixion of God's Son, the wounds and offenses that we suffer in this lifetime begin to look very small. This does not mean that they are insignificant, for there are wounds that people suffer in this life that will always mark them. However, If Christ can forgive those who are brutally crucifying him, then he can give us the power to forgive those who hurt us. Now at this point, some of you might be thinking, how is this even possible? You don't know what I've been through. You don't know how that person has hurt me. How can you dare ask me to forgive them? The key, though, to forgiveness is this. You and I must recognize that we really cannot do it on our own. We are unable in and of ourselves to forgive those who hurt us. But as a follower of Christ, in whom the Holy Spirit dwells, we can cry out to God to enable the forgiveness we have received to become forgiveness toward those who have hurt us. I sometimes pray this. I pray, Lord, I choose to forgive this person who has hurt me. I pray that you will enable this forgiveness to be real in my heart and in my life. We make the choice to forgive, and then we allow God to enable this forgiveness by the power of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes we need to pray this prayer every day. But as you allow Jesus Christ to put to death your sinful flesh through the cross, and as you surrender to the power and life of the Holy Spirit within you, this forgiveness will become real in your heart. Sometimes, though, fear holds us back. A fear that by forgiving someone, they'll get away with a great wrong, and that a grave injustice will be allowed to stand. We feel that the only way we can ensure justice is by holding a grudge, by refusing to forgive them, by holding them accountable with our bitter, angry hearts. But Romans 12:19 tells us, do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. When we suffer a great wrong, when someone injures or hurts us deeply, the reflex of our sinful flesh is to injure and hurt them back, to make them pay for what they've done, to get even, to make sure that they learn their lesson. But God calls us to forgive because he is the judge. When we forgive someone, we move the issue out of the little courtroom of our heart where we might think that we are the judge, and we move it into the courtroom of God where he alone is the true and righteous judge. Psalm 10:14 says, but you, O God, do see trouble and grief. You consider it to take it in hand. The victim commits himself to you. You are the helper of the fatherless. God will avenge. God will repay. We need to forgive and to let go, remembering that we ourselves are not innocent, and that God has forgiven us of so very much. Next slide. Corrie ten Boom was a young Dutch woman in Holland during World War II. She and her family decided to shelter Jews at the risk of their lives from the Nazis who were occupying their country. When they were caught, she and her sister were sent to a concentration camp called Ravensbrück. She survived and eventually was released, but her beloved sister, Betsy, who you see in the middle of this photograph, died in the camp. Later, Corrie wrote of an experience she had after the war. She says, and I quote, it was in a church in Munich where I was speaking in 1947 that I saw him, a balding, heavy-set man in a gray overcoat, a brown felt hat clutched between his hands. One moment I saw the overcoat, the brown hat. The next moment I saw a blue uniform and a visored cap with its skull and crossbones. Memories of the concentration camp came back with a rush. This man had been a guard at Ravensbrück concentration camp where we were sent. Now he was in front of me, hand thrust out. A fine message, Fraulein. How good it is to know that, as you say, all our sins are at the bottom of the sea. It was the first time since my release that I had been face to face with one of my captors, and my blood seemed to freeze. You mentioned Ravensbrück in your talk, he was saying. I was a guard there, but since that time, I've become a Christian. I know that God has forgiven me for the cruel things I did there, but I would like to hear it from your lips as well. Fraulein, again the hand came out, will you forgive me? And I stood there and could not. Betsy had died in that place. Could he erase her slow, terrible death simply by asking? It could not have been many seconds that he stood there, hand held out, but to me it seemed hours as I wrestled with the most difficult thing I ever had to do. For I had to do it. I knew that. The message that God forgives has a prior condition that we forgive those who have injured us. If you do not forgive others their trespasses, Jesus says, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. Still, I stood there with a coldness clutching my heart. But forgiveness is an act of the will, and the will can function regardless of the temperature of the heart. Jesus, help me, I prayed silently. I can lift my hand. I can do that much. You supply the feeling. And so woodenly, mechanically, I thrust my hand into the one stretched out to me. And as I did, an incredible thing began to happen. The current started in my shoulder, raced down my arm, sprang into our joined hands. And then this healing warmth seemed to flood my whole being, bringing tears to my eyes. I forgive you, brother, I cried, with all my heart. For a long moment, we grasped each other's hands, the former guard and the former prisoner. I had never known God's love so intensely as I did then. Today I pray that each of us would know the amazing and powerful love of God, who forgives us of our sin so that we may know the healing and freedom that is ours when we forgive those who hurt us. Would you pray with me? Jesus, today we confess that you ask us to do the impossible, but you don't leave us on our own. You give us the power of the Holy Spirit who is living within us so that we can do the impossible, so that we can forgive those who hurt us, so that we can know the freedom of living in the righteousness and the joy of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that today you would enable us to forgive those who have hurt us, that we will receive your forgiveness, and that you would enable this forgiveness to be extended through us, from us, to those around us. Lord, help us. We choose to obey. We choose to forgive. In Jesus' name.